So we'll start by quickly summarizing the sugya, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, parallel to our Gemara in Yoma, and Reb Chaim that we talked about yesterday. We'll summarize what we did yesterday and add a couple of points. So let's remember the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and really the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in Yoma says we give up our, usually we say that human life overrides any mitzvah, and you violate the mitzvah rather than lose your life. But there are three, there are the Shalosh Chamuros, the three big Averos of Gilui Raya, Shvichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah that actually override that, and you give up your life rather than violate them. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin adds, there also are categories of a case of La'aviro B'farhesi, where someone's trying to get you to violate the Torah publicly, and the case of Shmad, where there's a government decree. In those cases, you also have to give up your life. The Gemara then asks, what about Esther? Why isn't Esther Parhesia? What Esther, by living with Ahasuerus, was publicly doing some Avera. And there's two answers. Abai says she's Karka Olam, she's passive. We're going to focus on that for the first few minutes with Reb Chaim. And since she's passive, therefore there's no halachic, that she wouldn't have to give up her life. And Rava says it's because of Hanas Atzmo, of the king, that the meaning what was happening was only for the benefit of Ahasuerosh, and since that was the case, we don't apply Yehari Val Yavor there. That second answer we're going to focus on in the bulk of our shiur on the material we learned today. Just to rehearse Tosfos quickly, Tosfos asks why does the Gemara ask Esther Parhesia Avai that Esther was publicly with Ahasuerosh? Why doesn't the Gemara say instead Esther Gilui Arayos Havai, that Esther was doing Gilui Arayos? That should be us, regardless of whether it's public or not. Tosfos answers that it's obvious to everyone that Karka Olam is mutter, is Yavor Va'al Yehareg. You don't have to give up your life in a case of Karka Olam for Gilui Arayos, right? And there's no need for even a discussion about that. In terms of Parhesia, then there's a discussion. Abai thinks it's because it's mutter, it's Yavor Va'al Yehareg because of Karka Olam. Rava thinks it's because of Hanas Atzmo, but Tosfos thinks everyone agrees Karka Olam is a heter to be over the Al Yeharig for Gilui Arayos. Tosfos has a proof for this. Their proof is from Shvichus Damim, a case of passive murder, which their case is being thrown on a baby. Someone says, "I'm going to throw you on a baby, kill the baby. If not, if you resist, I'll kill you." Tosfos says you don't have to resist. They have two proofs. Number one, that the logic of my chazis doesn't really apply, right? The logic of who says my blood is redder than theirs, I shouldn't kill them. Well, the same thing goes back the other way. Who says their blood is redder than mine and I shouldn't have to resist? I can just allow things to play out and passively be thrown on the baby and kill the baby. And they also point out that the drusha of the hekesh between the murder and Gilui Arayos is based on, it's like yakum ish arei urtzacho nefesh. It's like someone who gets up and kills, that's active. That only in an active case do we say Yehari Val Yavor, not in a passive case for Gilui Arayos and for Shvichus Damim. That was Tosfos. Reb Chaim, the Grach, says, look at the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't seem to have this exception. The Rambam seems to think that, at least for Gilui Arayos, if it's passive, you still have to give up your life. So what about Esther? Esther probably wasn't exactly a case of Gilui Arayos for whatever reason. Maybe she wasn't married to Mordechai and Ahasuerus is not Jewish. But theoretically, a case of passive Gilui Arayos, a case of the Nara Morasa herself, would be Tehareg Val Tavor. She has to give up her life rather than be in that situation. So that's Reb Chaim's reading of the Rambam. And then he has to figure out what's the logic in the Rambam. His first understanding of the Rambam is that the Rambam actually distinguishes. He makes a chiluk between passive Gilui Arayos and passive Shvichus Damim, right? Passive murder. Tosfos seems to have good proofs that passive murder, you don't have to give up your life. But for Gilui Arayos, you do have to give up your life. That's what he's medayik in the Rambam. And the question is, why is that? He has two explanations for that understanding. The first is that, essentially, there's a difference in the din, between the din of Gilui Arayos and the din of Shvichus Damim. Shvichus Damim, murder, the reason why you have to give up your life for murder is because of Maichazis. The whole logic of Maichazis, and this is sort of something we didn't really emphasize yesterday, but worth thinking about today. Usually we think, right, there's an Avera, don't do the Avera. Then we build on top of that, but if your life's in danger, you can do the Aveira, v'chai behem. And then the Gimel Chamuros, we think, is like a level on top of that, right? Like a third level. But these three Averos are so important, they actually override the v'chai behem. That's usually how we think about the big three. But what Reb Chaim's saying here, I think based on Rashi implicitly, that's actually not how murder works. Murder works not because you have usur to kill, but it's v'chai behem, but murder is really bad. Rather, it's usur to kill, but v'chai behem, but actually not v'chai behem, because murder, if you're killing the other person, you're not actually saving any lives, right? So that just reverts to normal status, that it's usur to kill, like any other avera, right? It's usur to kill like any other avera because there's no v'chai behem. We remove v'chai behem. It's not that we build something on top of v'chai behem. We rather remove it. That's true about murder, but that's not true about Gilui Arayos, right? Obviously, logically, it doesn't make sense, right? Gilui Arayos, you still are saving a person's life. So Gilui Arayos is usur to do Arayos, but your life's in danger. But Gilui Arayos is really chamur, so it overrides. And that would explain the Rambam, why the Rambam would say Gilui Arayos, passively, you have to do the Avera, but murder, passively, you don't have to do it, because if you think about it, the way it works is usur to kill, but it's v'chai behem, but it's not v'chai behem. Okay, but it's sort of what that leaves is you have to let things go where they may. Meaning you can't actively perpetrate a scenario where someone's dying because you're not actually saving a life. But what's left is you can still passively remain in that situation and have the situation develop as it does. That's the first explanation in the Rambam with a little elaboration. Maybe you could dispute that if you want. The other explanation in the Rambam is that actually the cases in Tosfos are not comparable. Tosfos says being thrown on a baby and killing the baby is comparable to a woman, the Nara Marasa, right, who's passive in Gilui Arayos, just like you're being passive in Shefichas Damim. The Rambam says those are not comparable because there's actually a difference. In the case of being thrown on a baby, you are not doing the Ritzicha. You're not even a participant in the act of Ritzicha. The person who throws you on the baby is doing the murder. You're just an object. You're like a stone. If you were replaced by a stone, it would still have the same result. It would still be murder. Whereas in the Nara Marasa case, the woman is actually a participant. Obviously a passive participant, one who is against her will. But if she were not there, or if she were a stone, it wouldn't be Arayos, right? The act is definitionally contingent on her participation. Again, passive and against her will participation, but she still is part of the act of Gilui Arayos. For that reason, the Rambam says, according to Reb Chaim, this explanation, Gilui Arayos is, since she's a participant, even though it's against her will, it still is Yarag Valyavor, whereas murder, if you're a passive, you're not even a passive participant, you're just an object, you're not really there, and that's why for Shvichas Damim, passively, you do not have to give up your life, in that understanding of the Rambam. What does Tosfos say? He says, well, Tosfos probably says something like, you know, even if the cases aren't exactly comparable, if you theoretically would have a comparable case, we would apply the principle of murders, number one, the drusha, murder is only usur when it's active. Murder is only yahargval yavor, rather, when it's active, which we have, that comes out of the Gemara. Yakum ish al re'ehu, it's only if it's active. And the logic of my chazis, can be reversed. So even if the two cases, even if we can't think of a passive murder case, since a theoretical passive murder case would be not Yehareg Val Yavor, would be Yavor Val Yehareg, so too, according to Tosfos, Gilui Arayos passively would also be Yavor Val Yehareg. You don't need to give your life up. But then Reb Chaim has a turn. He says, no, let's change, let's rethink this whole shot in the Rambam, because, you know, we've been assuming that the Rambam thinks that passive murder is exempt, is Yavor Val Yehareg, but maybe that's not true. Maybe passive murder, you should also have to give up your life. And he says, this goes back to the question of what exactly the svara of my chazis is. Right? The svara of my chazis, who says my blood is redder than yours, therefore I can't kill you to save my life. How do you translate that into a passive scenario? That's the question. And until this point, we've been assuming, well, my chazis, I don't know if my blood's redder than yours, we're sort of frozen. It's a stalemate. So I can't do anything. I can't kill you to save my life, but I also don't need to resist if someone's going to throw me on the baby because I just need to be passive, right? We're at a stalemate. I can, right? There's no good option, so just stay passive and whatever happens, happens. That was the assumption until now. But then he has a suggestion. Maybe that's not how it works. Maybe really the way it works is in a case, my chazis means that you need to make sure that you are not the one who gets out ahead, so to speak. You know, to sort of be deferential, to make sure that you're the one who dies as opposed to the other person. Now, why would that be the case? That seems a little unusual. Reb Chaim uses the language of "delo chala din dechia beharitzicha," in a case where in a case where you'd be thrown on the baby. Okay, you're not actively doing anything, but still, lo chala din dechia beharitzicha. We don't override the act of murder. Right, there still is some murder going on. Now, this is tricky because Reb Chaim just said that you're not really doing the murder if you're thrown on a baby. Right, that was his whole point, that you're passive, you're not actually doing the murder. So I think there's a couple of different ways of understanding this line. You might say this line, Reb Chaim is actually doing a 180 on that. Maybe he changed his mind. Maybe he thinks that actually you are, to some degree, a participant in the act of murder, and that would be chayav. It's a little hard to say that because he doesn't spell that out, and he was pretty clear about saying you're not a participant, and now he doesn't say that. Another alternative is to say because he doesn't say you're doing the ritzicha. He says there is a ritzicha happening and there's no dechia. You don't override the murder. But he's not quite saying that you're doing the murder. Maybe it's not about ritzicha, but it's about like weighing the two lives, right? Because the logic of my chazis is not really about the act of murder, right? Or for those who are philosophically inclined, that's not really a deontological consideration. It's more of a consequentialist consideration, right? We're thinking about the results. How do I know if my blood is redder than theirs? So, therefore, we should look like Rashi said, right? Hashem likes it when Jews don't die, right? That's thinking about the results. So if we're thinking about the results, maybe Reb Chaim says, then there's no difference between if it's active or passive, right? We're not thinking about the mice. We're not thinking about the action of murder. We're thinking about the situation where someone's going to die, either you or this baby or this other person. And it's your job to defer, to say, you know, I'm going to make sure that I'm not the one, to die. Not because you're committing an act of murder, but maybe because, just because you're sort of weighing the two lives. That may explain why Reb Chaim invokes a proof from the case of two people in the desert with insufficient water. We're not going to get into that now. What comes out of that, though, it sounds like what comes out of that is, on this approach of Reb Chaim, remember what we said about the levels, right? Don't murder, but someone's life is being saved, so therefore you can. But murder is really bad, so don't murder. It sounds like on this approach, he's actually has all three levels, right? Because at the end of the day, he's not saying that there's no heter of v'chai behem. He's not saying there's no saving of a life, and that's why it disappears. What he's saying is there still is some ritzicha aspect that's going on here. And I think what that means is, you know, usher to kill, there's a heter because you're saving someone's life, but here, even though, you know, you're not causing more people to die or less people to die, right? But still, there's some aspect of ritzicha, some aspect of a murder here that you're affiliated with, and it's your job, because murder is so bad, it's your job to make sure that you get out of that murder. In any event, that's the Reb Chaim prefers this reading of the Rambam, that the Rambam thinks both Shvichas Damim and Gilui Arayos are passively Aryeh Harig Val Yavor, whereas Tosfos thinks that both are Yavor Val Yeharig. You don't need to die, according to Tosfos. That's the Reb Chaim, a really great conceptual, wide-ranging Reb Chaim about, which really gets into a lot of these issues about, I think some of the overlay we talked about the relationship between V'chai Behem and the Big Three, which we'll talk about more in a couple minutes. Also about the relationship between these different actions, these different averos, how they play out differently, and what exactly, most importantly, what's the principle here? Why, you know, what stands behind it? What's the nature of the din of Yiharig Val Yavor? Is it based on the action, focused on the action, or is it focused rather on the results in one way or another? Okay, so that's the rehashing and slight elaboration from last time. Let's move now to the material that everyone prepared today, which is, building on the Gemara in Sanhedrin and thinking about our categories. Remember the big three, Gilui Arayos, Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, the category of someone trying to get you to violate the Torah publicly, and the category of Shmad, of where there's a government decree to not follow the Torah. So, what if I were to ask everyone, what's the reason why you need to give up your life for all these things, right? Why are there these exceptions? If, you know, we know from our parak in Yoma and elsewhere, we know there's this principle, and there's multiple drushos for it, but whatever exactly the drush is, there's this clear principle of life overriding averos or mitzvos, right? V'chai behem, or whatever other drasha, chala shabbos achas. So why are there exceptions? What could be such that, again, as we saw before, that you can override v'chai behem, override whatever allowance there is to save life? Yeah, Adira.
Kiddush Hashem.
Okay, so one clear principle is Kiddush Hashem, and of course its flip side, Chilul Hashem. Right, so some averos, maybe, or some scenarios are such that it's so bad what you're doing because of the Chilul Hashem, because God's public profile, God's name, is defamed by you doing these averos, that instead, we say, usually we would say, you know, your life overrides, but for these situations, there's such a Chilul Hashem that we would say you actually can't do the aver, you have to give up your life, and that, of course, would lead to a great Kiddush Hashem. That shows the extent of the person's determination to do the right thing, to follow the Torah. So that's one approach, and who's maybe the clearest in laying that out, that this is about Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, Adira?
The Rambam?
The Rambam, right. I mean, we're going to get to it in a bit. We're not going to focus on it first, but it's very clear from the Rambam over and over again, Perek Hei is all about Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, and he starts with what you need to give up your life for. And he multiple times in different formulations says over and over again, these are situations you need to give up your life. It's a Kiddush Hashem to give up your life. It's a Chilul Hashem not to. These are the situations where you don't give up your life. And actually, interestingly, that's also a Kiddush Hashem, right? We saw that yesterday, that if you do the Avera to save your life in cases where Halacha mandates that you do that, that itself is a Kiddush Hashem. You're sanctifying God's name by living life properly according to the Torah. Fine, that's one approach. What other approach might there be? Not a Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem approach, but something else. Nettie?
They're just really bad.
They're just really bad, right? Or what's known as Chomer HaAveira. Right? These are known as the Gimel Chamuros, the three very severe transgressions. Maybe it's just a quantitative thing. I mean, it's at least one way of thinking about it, right? Like most, you know, usually it's like you have to weigh things. So human life is worth a lot. Like most mitzvos are down here, less than human life. There's a few mitzvos and a few scenarios that really are really much worse. And they're so bad that they just, quantitatively, they're more than the value of human life. And that's why we say, give up your life rather than violate these averos. Obviously, so yeah. And we may say there's a difference between, you know, one of these svaras might work better for some cases than others, or some scenarios than others, or even some specific mitzvos than others, right? But let's just use that as our starting point, as the two possible reasons. Wow, the two possible reasons as to how Yehari Val Yavor might work conceptually. And again, this shir is titled Sibas Hadin Yehari Val Yavor, the reason for Yehari Val Yavor, meaning what's, you know, what's the logic? What's the reason for applying it this way? And again, we have two basic principles to work with here. One is the Chilul Hashem, Kiddush Hashem aspect, and the other one is the Chomer Avera, the severity of the Avera. Just offhand, if we were to say, the Gemara talks about Arkas of the Masana, right? If in the time of Shema, the time of government, government rules against following Judaism, they say, even if they say to tie your shoes the non-Jewish way, you have to give up your life for that. How would we categorize that? Very chum or very severe, or Chilul Hashem? Zvora.
Probably Chilul Hashem.
Probably Chilul Hashem, right? Why is that?
The mitzvah didn't suddenly get more severe because of the circumstance, but the message that it sends did change.
Right, okay, great, that's well put. Right, tying your shoes, I mean, it's a minhag, right? Rashi says it's a minhag, it's not the most severe of things. I mean, it's important to keep minhagim. That it may or may not still be applicable as a minhag. I don't know. We'd have to see what the contemporary Jewish practice is. But a minhag is a minhag, but it's not the most severe thing. It's hard to say that how to tie your shoes is somehow more important than human life, right? You're going to have a really hard time saying that. So it seems more likely to say that it's about Kiddush Hashem. And of course, that the circumstances lend themselves to that, right? The fact that the government's saying, like, deny your Judaism by doing this means that If you do this, in effect, you're giving in. You're denying your Judaism. You're saying you don't care enough about your Judaism to exercise that mitzvah, to follow that mitzvah. And so that seems to be a Chilul Hashem. And I think, just expanding on that point that Dvorah said, generally, this Chakira works best for the Gimel Chamurus, for the three, for the big three, Gilir Azra, Zar, and Shvichus Damim, that there's an open question as to whether it's about the Chilul Hashem or about the severity, whereas the scenario of Shmad or the scenario of Lahaviro, those seem to be much more circumstantial, and they're almost like pumped up. They're given more significance because of the broader public implications of Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, but in themselves, they're not that severe, right? They don't change just because of the circumstance, right? So it sounds like those scenarios are about Kiddush and Chilul Hashem, but the Gimel Chamuros, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aris, and Shvichus Damim, those, there's an open question as to what we'd consider it. Now, does anyone have proof texts or rayas from the Gemara or to indicate where each principle is at work based on the Gemara? Nettie?
Well, just like the Svara and like the Darvi, like the first of all, the fact that we derive like the Gimel Chamuros each from their own pasuk, and like we'd already brought the pasuk of like Lo Techalu Hashem Kachiv and Ikdashti, but like the Gemara doesn't say that that's like it sort of derives them, but also the Svara forward Sayach like seems to be about like the fact that you just like can't choose a life, and that's just like a Svara that we just can't do. It doesn't seem to be related to Chilul Hashem or Kiddush Hashem.
Great, right? So look at the proof text. Look at the Gemara's rayas, what the Gemara uses to prove these halachos. So for murder, it's my chazis. It doesn't say anything about Kiddush or Chilul Hashem. It says there's like a logic of who says your blood is redder, and Naam Ras has learned out by extension from that. Again, not because of Kiddush or Chilul Hashem, but because of that. Avodah Zarah is a little trickier, right? The source for Avodah Zarah is Vahatas Hashem Elkecha. You should love God with all your heart, even if and all your nefesh, all your soul, even if your life is taken. So you could say, well, that's sort of, you know, Kiddush Chilul Hashem related. Or you could say, no, it just shows how severe the mitzvah of loving Hashem is to the exclusion of loving other gods, the exclusion of doing Avodah Zarah. And what, just a follow-up, and then I'll take some questions. What would be a good proof to the Gemara, to the other side, and maybe thinking about sources again, what would be a good indication that something is about Chilul Hashem or Kiddush Hashem rather than about just the severity? Yeah, Nettie, you want to continue what you started? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is too like specific, but possibly like the Hanas Atzman applying to the Esther case.
Okay, so how Hanas Atzman works is certainly very relevant. We're going to get to that in just a minute. So it's not too specific. It's probably too broad, too much to talk about now. So we're going to get to it when we get into the Rishonim. But just something clear from the Gemara, Dvorah.
I mean, I don't know if this is so clear. It's just that the Gemara really like doesn't seem to have a clear dividing line between when it's speaking about the Gimel Chamurah and speaking about Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, really like flows in between the two of them pretty freely. That like maybe you would argue that that, you know, lack of distinction shows that they're really about the same thing.
Uh-huh. And you'd want to say, okay, but well, I guess you could take that a step back, which is how do we know in the first place that the non-Gimel Chamurahs are about Chilul and Kiddush Hashem? What's a good indication of that, other than the logic that we said? What's a good sort of proof, in a sense? Hey, Rivka?
Maybe the fact that being in public changes it at all.
Sorry?
Maybe the fact that being in public changes it at all.
Okay, the fact that it's circumstantial, right? It depends on the circumstance, for sure. For sure, that ties in with the logic that we mentioned. And also, maybe someone said this before, but also the language, the pasuk of Chilul Hashem, right? That seems to indicate that. And then, as Dvorah said, the fact that, you know, maybe it's sort of fuzzy. We're not making a clear distinction between those cases and the case of the Gimel Chamuros. We think that even the Gimel Chamuros are based on Chilul Hashem too. And as was mentioned before, it seems like the Rambam read the Gemara that way, right? Because the Rambam says Chilul Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, and then groups everything together. It's one big mix. There's no distinction. It's all about, you might say, reading the Rambam, it's all about Chilul Hashem. Okay, so I think that's a good start for this chakir, for this question, right? We have conceptually two options, right? If something overrides v'chaibam, says you have to give up your life, is that because it's very severe or because it's a Chilul Hashem? And that question is primarily for the Gimel Chamuros, not for the other circumstances. And there are different possible proof texts, right? You can focus on the Chilul Hashem pasuk as the Rambam does. You can instead focus on each case having its own source, right? Each case has its own source because in each case, you need to prove how severe something is. You need to prove how big of an avera it is to go forward. Good. So let's move now to focus on one specific question. Questions first. But then we're going to look at one specific question that's disputed among Rishonim to try to get a better handle on this issue. Okay, but first questions. Nettie, yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, in formulating the Hakira, do you have to, like, is there a way to formulate the side of Kiddush Hashem without, like, also relying in some way on, like, the logic of Chomras Avera? Because it seems like it's, like, why are these Averas a Kiddush Hashem? Because, like, they're so Chomor that even Bitsina would be a Chal Hashem to do them. Like, is there a way to, like, not have to, I don't know.
Yeah, so it's a fair question, right? Sounds like, in a sense, the Chil Hashem Tzad is itself building on the fact that these are severe Averos, right? And it's hard to separate that completely. It's a fair point. I think there may be, at least for some of them, there may be a way, right? Like, you can try to develop it. But like for Avodah Zarah, so you could say it's not that Avodah Zarah is more Chamor, it's just that it undermines God's name, right? The whole point of Avodah Zarah is you worship God, right? So that's maybe the easiest one. Even something like murder, Shvichus Damim, the Rambam says that this idea, if you, the Rambam, we'll get to this, I think, next week. The Rambam, in the context of Pikuach Nefesh, says that the Torah is about, it believes in the value of human life, and if you don't properly follow the laws of Pikuach Nefesh, you're indicating that the Torah is, you know, is callous and is achzari. And maybe that's a Chil Hashem. Maybe it's not that the life itself matters. I mean, I think it does, but right, maybe that's not the overriding factor here, but the overriding factor is instead that you're giving a bad name to Hashem and the Torah by, with the way you're living out the values. Actually, Rav Twersky wrote about this in one of his letters about the pandemic. He said, you know, by people not being careful enough, many lives were lost, but maybe even more importantly, it's also a Chil Hashem because you're misrepresenting the Torah's view on this. So I think you can do it there. Nara Maresa, I don't think there's like a formulation you can build on, but you can say like it's by extension of murder, like you could say the fact that we, you know, that someone would say that and the Torah doesn't think that these are horrific violations that you'd need to like protest in the most extreme way, maybe that would also be. You could read it that way. It's a bit of a stretch, I think, you know, in that order. It's easiest for the Avodah Zarah, a bit harder for Shvichus Damim, a bit harder for Gilui Aryos, but I think you could make that. The easiest thing, as you said, is to say it's building off of that. These are very chamor to the point where they lead to a Chil Hashem, and we'll see. Some Rishonim seem to have a bit of a hybrid view. But yeah, it's a good question. Other questions, other thoughts? Okay, so let's move forward into some of the Rishonim, and we start with the Baal HaMor in his HaMor HaGadol. He has a reading of the sugya. Well, first we'll look at a general point that's worth noting, but then he has a reading in the sugya that's very stark, very jarring, leads a lot of people to argue with him, and leads the Ramban to tie this into our conceptual question. So we'll start source number two, Abaye Amar Ester Karka Olam Haisa, Rav Amar Hanas Atzman Shani, right? Those are the two answers, and remember we focused on Karka Olam, passive, in the beginning of Shir and last year. Abai's answer, but now we're going to focus on Rava's answer of Hanas Atzman Shani, that when an Avera was done, when the person provoked the Avera, not because they want you to break the Torah per se, but because they want just the personal benefit from it, like in the case of Esther, that would make it permitted despite being Parhesia. Right? That's what Rava says. So, the Kitn Hashta, the Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aryos, Shvichus Damim, Lo Shna Bitzina, Lo Shna Parhesia, Lo Shna B'Shas Hashmad, Lo Shna Shlo B'Shas Hashmad, Yari Val Yavor. In all of these circumstances, private or public, time of decree or not time of decree, you have to give up your life in every case. Right? So we're going to see there will be a limitation. But first, he has an expansion of these categories, of the big three. He says, V'lomi baya avera atzma, ela afilu kol midi, demati leila over ha'avera, hana'a machmas ha'avera, begimel averas halalu, yahari val yavor. Not only doing Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aryos, Shvichus Damim, but even deriving benefit in some way from the big three qualifies as yahari val yavor. His example is the case of Bakol Misrapin Chutz Me'atzei Asherah. You're allowed to get, right, you're allowed to do all sorts of sketchy things for the sake of health, but you can't use Atzei Asherah. You can't use the wood of an Asherah tree or, you know, Asherah extract for your health purposes. And let's assume, there's a machlokes, but let's assume that that means it's just a normal tree. It's like the last, I don't know, the last therapeutic tree that exists that's in your area, and someone happened to worship it. Someone happened to make it into their Asherah tree. But the question is, can you just use the oil or the wood from the tree? Right? You're not doing any Avodah Zarah. You're not worshiping it at all. You're just taking that Avodah Zarah item and using it for your personal benefit, for your own personal healing. And the Gemara says, no. The Gemara Pesachim, Kaf Gimel, says, you can't be Misrapi Batze Asherah. Why not? You're not doing anything. You're not doing Avodah Zarah. The answer is, Balmor tells us, it's this idea of getting Hana'ah from the big three is also a Harigval Yavor. A big Chiddush expands the category significantly. This is part of what's known in the literature as Abizrayhu de Avodah Zarah Gilui Ashrichus Damim. Abizrayhu sort of means the add-on, meaning not the thing itself, but some extension of it, like here, getting Hana'ah from it. Elsewhere, people talk about Lifnei Iver on the big three, maybe giving, maybe the case of Kvaki V'dimanika, we didn't get into that, of giving wood to a base Avodah Zarah to use for Avodah Zarah, so you're sort of helping them in the process. You're not doing anything, but you're giving them the wood, you're helping them do Avodah Zarah. Maybe that also falls under Abizrayhu. Maybe that would also be Yargval Yavor for that reason. So that's the first point in this Balamor, an important point, adopted by many people, has many halachic ramifications, that even add-ons of Avodah Zarah, Gilurash and Shvichus Damim, are still Yargval Yavor, and some people say even Durabanans, a Durabanan, like minor version of it, are also. There's a lot to talk about there, but not today. Then let's jump now to the top of page 2, and we'll see the limitation that the Balamor imposes on our sugya. That he says that it's only, even the big three, or some of the big three, are only Yehargval Yavor in some cases, not others. So this is towards the end of the first line on page 2. The Hani Mili Kulu to Kamechavin and Nachri Lavur Eli Yisrael. All of these cases where the big three are Yehargval Yavor is only when, in this case, the non-Jew is trying to get the Jew to do the Avera to sort of disprove his religion, right? To show he doesn't care about the Torah. Ava lehanas atzmo, lo shna hachi, velo shna hachi, shari, if it's for his own benefit, like, again, let's think something like, like Achashverosh, right? For his own benefit, he wants to sleep with Esther, but not because he wants to disprove halacha or something, then it doesn't make a difference. It's always mutter. It's always mutter, even the Gimel Chamuros. It sounds like. Why? And he says, here's his proof. For Esther, Esther Gilarayos Havai. Esther was Gilarayos, right? Uparayas Havai. And, right? Esther was both Gilarayos and Parayasya. Afilohachi mutter lahanas atzmo. And still it's mutter. Right? Rava says it's mutter. Now, the Gemara there is only explicitly talking about Parhesia, but the Balamor says the same thing would be true if the Gemara were talking about Gilarayos, or maybe it's implicitly talking about Gilarayos there. So despite the fact that it's Gilarayos, right, for Esther to be with Achashverosh, because it's Lahana Aso, he's just doing it for his own benefit, he's not doing it to undermine the Torah, it therefore becomes Yavor Val Yeharig, right? You don't need to give up your life for that. And I jump ahead a bit, and he complicates this a little bit. Afilu erva sharia. So there's, by Gilei Arayos, it's Yavor Val Yeharig. You don't need to give up your life if it's for his benefit. Aval lavoda zara atzma, eno yodea, or should be eni yodea bo derech shehe bo hanas atzmo kadei shehe mutter. What about avoda zara? I can't think of a scenario that's avoda zara for his own benefit. What does it mean? Someone wants you to worship avoda zara for their own benefit. Now we'll see. Some other rishonim do have cases, but at least the Balamor can't think of it, or he says he can't think of it. Lefichach nerli avoda zara atzma leolam yharival yavor. Avoda zara is probably always yharival yavor because there's no case I can think of that's lahana aso. The chemish fichas damim avagav de mechavein nachri lenas atzmo, by murder, even if the Gentile intends to do it for his own benefit, ein sham derech leolam shei mutter. That can never be permitted. Ta taime mishum svara de my chazia de damim dachsumuk tvei. The logic is my chazis. Who says your butter is redder than theirs? V'hai svara isi v'chol enyan. That applies always. It doesn't matter what the intention is of the person with the gun to your head. Right? At the end of the day, the logic is the same. My chazis, I feel b'shem iskavin enachri lehanas atzmo, even if he intends his own benefit, it still is equally problematic. This is the only case where gilirayos is different than avodah zarah and shvichus damim. The only case where there's a difference is hanas atzmo. Fine. B'shvichus damim asi lo mekishin hekesh gamur shizeh asi lehanas atzmo zeh mitzvah lehanas atzmo. Since there's a distinction, remember, there's a potential problem there, because we learn out that Gilei Arayos is Yehargval Yavor from Shvichus Damim, but he says it's not a full Hekesh. We learn out the general principle, we don't learn out all the details. And in fact, this one detail of Hanas Atzma was actually different. Okay, so if we had to categorize the Baal Hamor, let's say about Gilui Arayos, why is Gilui Arayos Hana Aso? Why is Esther, a married woman, sleeping with Achashverosh, doing Gilui Arayos? Why is that mutter? It's mutter because it's Hanas Atzma. Achashverosh is just doing it for his own benefit, right? That's the Baal Hamor's reading. How does that fit conceptually? How does the Baal Hamor understand Gilui Arayos as to why it's a Harigval Yavor?
Kiddush
Kol Hashem. And why do you say that?
Because like the Hanas Atzmo changes, like the like he's not doing it Lahaviro, so therefore there's no like perception of like I'm willing to give up the mitzvah, and there's no Kol Hashem.
Right, meaning that the fact that the mindset of the person who's trying to be Mavir, the person with the gun to your head, the fact that their mindset matters, that really shouldn't impact the severity of the Avera. It should only impact the degree to which it's, you know, it's Lahaviro. Obviously, you know, if you're violating the Torah publicly, maybe it'll make a difference there. Certainly in a case of Shmad, it's own, right, only is a Shmad if they're doing it. But it shouldn't really impact, it shouldn't really impact Gilui Arayos if it's about the Avera, unless we say the reason why Gilui Arayos is Yahar Yavor is because of the Chil Hashem aspect. For a Jew to be involved in Gilui Arayos is a huge Chil Hashem, and therefore you need to give up your life rather than do it. But that's only true when it's actually a big Chil Hashem. But if everyone knows that you're not doing this, you're not undermining Judaism by doing Gilui Arayos. You're just doing Gilui Arayos because, you know, someone has a gun to your head. They're not trying to undermine anything. They just want, you know, they want to take advantage of you, which obviously is terrible. But it's not about undermining Judaism. So then it wouldn't be Yehareg Val Yavar. That only should make a difference, as Nedi said, if Gilui Arayos is about Chil Hashem rather than about Chomer Havera. Now, what about murder? What about Shpichas Damim according to the Baal Hamor? Sure, Nedi again.
It seems like there is about the Chomer Havera because he talks about like the Svara and not, and like he says that Hanas Atzma wouldn't apply.
Right, Hanas Atzma doesn't make a difference because it's all about, it's all about the logic. The logic doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter why the, you know, the, you're being asked to do this act of murder. The point is, it's inherently wrong, right? My chazis, you have no right, you have no justification for killing someone to save your own life, regardless of why your own life is in danger, right? The same would be true in a whole host of other circumstances where, you know, it was like some sort of, I don't know, some sort of natural disaster where you could kill someone to save your life, and that would be usher too. It has nothing to do with why the person's is trying to get you to do it. So it sounds like he distinguishes between Gilui Arayos and Shpichas Damim. The thing that's a little unclear is Avodah Zarah, right? You'll notice he doesn't weigh in on whether Avodah Zarah would apply Lanas Atmo. He says he can't think of a scenario, so it probably always applies. But what if you theoretically could think of a scenario of Avodah Zarah Lanas Atmo? I think the Ramban mentions, like, Haman, right? Once we're thinking about Purim, Haman, according to the Gemara, was would have people bow down to him, and maybe to him as a person, that may or may not count, maybe to his idol on his, around his neck. Either way, he's doing it. Why? Why did Haman have people bow down? Not because like he was anti-Judaism. I mean, he probably was also. That would seem to be implied by the story. I don't know. But the reason he was having people bow down was to like show that he had political power. That's Hanas Atzmo, right? He was doing that just because he could to demonstrate his power. So maybe that's an example of Hanas Atzmo. So what would the Baal Hamor say there? So I think there's two ways of reading the Baal Hamor and Avodah Zarah. He might say that, by definition, every case one way of saying it is, he just can't think of a scenario. If one could think of a scenario, then theoretically, yeah, maybe it would be just like Shpichas Damim, Gilui Arayos, and maybe it would then be Mutter if it's just Lahana Aso. Right? Maybe he would say, bowing down to Haman, if it was just Lahana Aso, would be Mutter. Alternatively, maybe the reason why he can't think of a scenario is, it's not that he can't think of one, it's that, definitionally, any case where someone's getting you to bow down, by definition, entails the severe violation of Gilui Arayos, and it's not really Lahana Aso. It can never be Lahana Aso. It's always going to entail the undermining of God's name. Why? Well, that's sort of the definition of Avodah Zarah, right? By worshiping Avodah Zarah, you are proclaiming that you treat other gods seriously, which is a denial of God's unity, right? Ayin Shem the Rambam. So maybe that's what he means, that by definition, any sort of Avodah Zarah automatically triggers the Chil Hashem aspect too, right? So it's not necessary. So you could see Avodah Zarah as a Chil Hashem issue, and it's almost the Chil Hashem is definitional to the Avera. But fine, that's a detail. What's clear is that he thinks of Gilui Arayos as based on based on the Chil Hashem aspect rather than the severity of the Avera, which is why it's possible to undo it in a case where it's Lahana Aso, where it's not really, it's not about undermining Judaism, it's just someone wants to take advantage of the person in question. That's the Baal HaMor. Other Rishonim don't like the Baal HaMor so much on this, right? There's a pretty strong disagreement. The Ravid says, in his usual sharp fashion, Amar Avram Zotos Gmura, total mistake. Right? Because even in a case of Shmad Lana Asan Zihar Valyavor, he thinks, so this is a question about how to read the Gemara. We don't have time to get into this in detail, but basically, he understands Lahana Aso, it's not a heter in cases where something's usser, Zihar Valyavor. But it's Lahana Aso, so now we have a heter. Now you don't need to give up. You're like, no. Lana Aso is just the opposite of Lahaviro, meaning, if something is both public and lahavir, to get you to, with the goal of having you undermine your religion, then it's yarev al-yavor. If it's parhesia, but not lahaviro, but rather lahana aso, then it just doesn't fit the qualifications for category 2 of yarev al-yavor. But if it's not like lahana aso is a heter, lahana aso is just insufficient qualifications to count as publicly pushing someone to undermine their religion. But by a case of Shmad, where there's a governmental rule, there it's clear there's a Chil Hashem, even if the person right now says, like, you know, I don't know, I'm lazy, go carry that thing for me on Shabbos, it doesn't matter that he's just being lazy. The fact that the king said, don't keep Shabbos makes this already a Chil Hashem, or makes this, or makes it usher for whatever other reason. It's automatically usher. And more relevant to what we're discussing, the Gimel Chamuros, the big three, all of the big three, it doesn't make a difference if it's Lahana Aso or not. It's always Yahari Val Yavor. Fine. I think there may be different ways of understanding that. But the Ramban will take us in a particular direction. Fine. And just, we're not going to read through the Ravid, the Kus of Shem, but he does argue clearly. He has some proofs. He mentions a scenario where he thinks there is a murder Lahana Aso scenario, where, like, you want to kill some Jew, and the only way to do it is to get a Jewish hitman, and that's murder Lahana Aso. But, of course, it seems to be a bit of a confusion, because the Ravid says, like, I found the case of murder Lahana Aso. The Baal HaMor never said he couldn't find such a case. He just said that it wouldn't matter, right? So that's sort of a bit, doesn't make a difference, la'alacha. And at the end, he talks about what we talked about with Tosfos from yesterday, which hopefully we'll return to, that only, right, Tosfos' position, that by Nar Marasa, it's only Yehari Val Yavor, the man needs to give up his life, but not the woman because she's passive. We'll return to that in a couple minutes. The person who most extensively disagrees with the Baal HaMor, along with the Ravid, is the Ramban in his Milchamos, in his commentary on the Baal HaMor. And he gets into some detail and argument about these things. We're going to point to a couple of ideas here. First, so the Ramban gets up and says, Gimel Chamuros, Ari Har Val Yavor, always. Even if it's Lahana Aso. Lahana Aso doesn't make a difference. He has a whole bunch of proofs from different Gemaras where people gave up their lives rather than violate the Gimel Chamuros. And he says, don't tell me that's Lifnei Mishur HaSadin, that they're being like extra frum, because actually, you're not allowed to be extra frum. Below Matzis LeMeimar, Lifnei Mishur HaSadin, Devadi lo hava katel nafshe, ilav dina havai. Right? It sounds like this person would never give up their life if the halacha wasn't that. It sounds like he's implying you shouldn't give up your life if the halacha is against it, like the Rambam. One of his examples is this case in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalid, a couple blot later from what they're discussing on, or maybe the next Amud even, on Hela Libotina, where this man has an absolute need to be with a woman, or he's something's going to happen, he can't help himself, and the Gemara, they say, Yamus Ve'al X, Y, and Z. He should rather die than sleep with her, even talk with her if that's what he needs. Those are cases understood as Abizrayu scenarios, going back to what we mentioned before. But the point is, why does he have to give up his life? Says Ramban. It's only Lahana Aso. He's just doing it because he has this, psychological need, or whatever sort of need to be with this woman. Well, it doesn't really matter, because Lahana Aso, by Gimel Chamuros, is still Yehari Val Yavor. Let's jump to page 3, the black text on page 3, V'chein nami hadarinu b'psachim, b'kol misrafim chutz migil arayos, right, the b'kol misrafim chutz mi'atzei asherah case, v'kei agavna, who im libo halalibotina, right? That's the same thing, right? You can't use avodah zara, wood or whatever, to heal yourself. Are you healing yourself in order to worship avodah zara? Is someone trying to get you to do avodah zara? No, you're doing it just for your own health, and yet it's still usher. So if it came in them called misrapim, shmamina, ones who. It's a case of ones. You're going to die otherwise. That counts as ones. And you're only doing it for your own benefit. And still, it's Yehar Valyavor. So we see, again, Balamor is wrong. There's no heter of Yehar Valyavor, of the big three, by Hanas Atzmo. And he says, and now a little Yoma shout out. Ubra Sheiricha, Psar Kodesh, Psar Chazir, Machlin, Rotev Atzmo, Shein Chadavar Shomim, Thank you, Nefesh, Chusik, the Rashi, Rich Zamim, Avodah Zara. Lanas Atzmanhi, Dumia de Ubra, Afil Hachi, Bahani Gimel Asur. Right, remember our case of Ubra Sheiricha. She wants to, or not the Yom Kippur case, the other case where she wants to eat something, treif. We say she can eat anything she needs except for the big three. Why can't she eat the big three? It's Lahana also. She's doing it for health reasons. She's not doing it to violate anything. There's no aspect of that, and it's still usser precisely because lahana usser is not a heter. Okay, good. And now jumping to the underlined text, the Ramban is going to give us a little lumdus as to why this is true, building on what we've said before. Teda share gimel averos elo hachamuros. Right? How do you know I'm right? I'll give you a proof that I'm right. Says the Ramban that lahana usser is still yarva yavor by the big three against the Balamor. How do I know this? Share gimel averos elo hachamuros lo mipnei kiddush Hashem nesru. The big three are not about Kiddush Hashem. So what are they about? Lefikach, afal pi she'eno miskaven, laviro, usur. It doesn't matter what the other guy thinks. It's not about Kiddush Hashem. It's not about Kiddush Chil Hashem. It's about the aver itself. Aval shara aver, shenesu mimikdashti, hutru, alanas atzman, dalekim mishum Kiddush Hashem. The other averos, the other scenarios where someone's trying to make you break the religion or there's a shmad, the whole issue there is just Chil Hashem and versus Kiddush Hashem. There, it makes a difference whether the person's lavir or not. But here, because these are Gimel Averos Elo Hachamuros, because of these three severe Averos, it doesn't really matter what their goal is. The Avera itself is what stops you from doing it because it's so Chamur. So the Ramban basically says the Hakira here himself. I mean, he obviously favors his side. He says, I'm right. The Balamor is wrong. Gimel Averos are because of the Chomer Avera, and not because of an avodah of a Chil Hashem aspect. Therefore, you always must give up your life rather than violate the Gimel Chamuros. Fine. And again, the Balamor, at least by Gilei Arayos, maybe also by Avodah Zarah, seems to disagree with this, presumably because he thinks the Gimel Chamuros, or at least some of the Gimel Chamuros, are also about Kiddush and Chil Hashem. Okay, that's the main discussion on the Sugya in terms of Lahavir and how that works. But there's of several other cases where we can tie this chakira in as nafkaminas. So one scenario is in the Ran in Sanhedrin. This is in a Gemara about ha'oved me'avo miyira. Ha'oved me'avo me'avo miyira. The case is a little bit unclear. But what comes out of that discussion, Rabbeinu David, an important Rishon, who we don't have most of his commentary on most of Shas, but he gets quoted by other Rishonim. We'll just read the underlined part in Source 5. Perish Rav David, Demisha Yavor, Eza Avodah Salilim, Be'echa B'mina Avodah, Shadarka B'kach, Ome Avodah Shalpnei, Miyiras Nafsho, in the scenario of doing something out of fear, but you do the real Avodah Zarah, the real things that are Usur, Kadesh Lo Yamus, so you do it just to save your life, right? Your life is in danger, that's how he understands Miyira, a gun's to your head, you do Avodah Zarah. The Amar Eliyatar, you say, this is my God, Shehu Chayav Misa, you are guilty, and you are liable for the death penalty for doing Avodah Zarah, even though it was under Ones, under duress, with a gun to your head. Ubilvad shelo yehe shogeg bedavar, shiyehe savor shel ones matir. As long as this case of Omer Mutter, which is complicated, but leaving aside that unusual case, you get your chayv misa ela kevan shehisrubo sheina ones matir. They say to you, you have to give up your life in this case. You can't say there's a gun to my head. It's avodah zarah. You can't violate this. V'kibel hasra aso, if he accepted the warning like with any other death penalty, alf mishu anus chayv misa. Ubehai lo palig rava midi. Everyone agrees in such a case, you get the death penalty for doing avodah zarah. That's Rabbeinu David. The Ramban, that the Ran then quotes in the next underline, he says, Shemasha amru kami yira enu yira the sakanas nefashos. Yira doesn't mean that your life's in danger. Di'ihachi hechi mechayiv. Abaye, how could Abaye say your chayiv misa if there's a gun to your head? and you do have Avodah Zarah. In such a case, you would not be Chayav Misa, even though Yehari Val Yavar, you have to give up your life. But if you don't, you don't get the death penalty for that. We saw the Rambam also said this. So what's at least, how might we understand Rabbeinu David here? How might we understand Rabbeinu David? Why do you have to give up your life despite, why would you say you have to give up your life despite the fact that it's an onus? Despite the fact that there's a gun to your head and that whole thing. Okay, I understand why Zihari Bal Yavor, but to then say you also have, you get the death penalty for you know, being a little too scared, why would that be? Or what side of the Hakira does that fit better with? Yeah, Nettie.
I think the Chumra Savir side.
Okay, say more. Why?
Well, just because it seems like he thinks that, like, if you would get the death penalty for it, it seems like you're doing the Avira of Avodah Zarah in some way, and, like, that's the concern.
Okay, great. Right, what's the death penalty for doing, what's the punishment for doing making a Chil Hashem in Halacha? What's the onesh? There's no onesh in court, right? It's, like, really bad, it's really hard to do tshuva, like, you might not get into whatever, you know, all these huge things, but in court, in Beis Din, they're not going to punish you. So if the only reason why the Gimel Chamuras are Usur is because it's the Chomer, if the only reason is because of Chil Hashem, there should be no death penalty, right? Because the Avera itself was overridden by the Chaybam. And then we now say, that you still have to keep it because of Chil Hashem. Okay, but that shouldn't lead to the death penalty. Rabbeinu David presumably thinks that the Gimel Chamuros are Chamuros, they're so Chamur that they're greater in severity than the value of human life, and therefore you can't violate it. And if you do, you have violated you've actually done a full iser of murder or gileras or avodah zarah, and you should therefore get the death penalty for it. The other side, you can understand in a couple different ways. Right, the side that disagrees with that, you could say they disagree and they say you don't get the death penalty because, well, maybe they think it's just right. Maybe they think the gimel chamuros are just because of chil hashem, and the chil hashem wouldn't qualify for the death penalty. Alternatively, it could be their understanding of ones. They might say, ones, even though the way to say it in Lamas, I think, would be ones is a ptur ones. We actually talked about this yesterday in passing, that if you're forced to do something, it doesn't take away the action of what you did. Certainly it doesn't here. That's why you have to give up your life rather than worship the Avodah Zarah in this case. But what it does do is it removes the punishment. The fact that you were under duress removes the punishment in such a case. Fine. That's one possible nafkamina, is whether you get punished after the fact. Another nafkamina of this chakira, as to whether we're thinking about Chomer Avera versus Chil Hashem, might be the Tosfos we saw yesterday. Tosfos we saw yesterday indicated that a case of passive Gilei Arayos, right, like Esther, maybe for Gilei Arayos, the fact that one is passive, that would work, that would be a heter, but maybe it wouldn't be a heter for Parhesia, right? Rava might hold that way, and at least in the Havamina, Abaye holds that way. So what's the logic there? Why would you think that something, that Gilei Arayos being passive is a heter, but the fact that it's Parhesia makes it not a heter? Wait, what's the logic? Zahava?
It's all about Chil Hashem. So if there are more people that know about it, the worse it is.
Right, and how does that tie into being passive? How does being passive help one and not the other?
Being passive? I'm not sure.
Nettie?
Yeah, I was going to say that the passivity helps, like, the chumras havira, so, like, it makes it that you're doing, like, less of an avera because you're sort of just, like, not doing it in masa, but it doesn't really help the chol kiddush hashem.
Right, exactly, right? So usually we think of averas are functions of the action, right? It's usher to do this, so the action itself is the bad part. So you have to make sure not to do the action. The fact that it's passive makes it much weaker, much less. Whereas something that's a Chil Hashem, it's not really about the action, it's about the result. So Parhesia, which is about Chil Hashem, it doesn't really matter that you're passive, it doesn't really help. Or at least in the Havamini we thought that, right? Whereas Gilei Arayos itself is maybe, according to Tosfos, is a function of the Avera. And that's why if you're passive, it actually does knock it down to get you off the hook. So Parhesia, passive might not help you for Parhesia, even though it does help, it certainly does help for Karka, for Gilei Arayos. That could explain Tosfos. Fine. What would we do with the Shita of the Rambam? Shita of the Rambam is a little complex. Right, if you noticed, and we're not going to be able to read this inside for reasons of time, but the Rambam's a little bit all over the place. We said like, who is the clearest that this is all about Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem? The Rambam, right? We said that at the beginning of Shir. Like, every other line, he just says, Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem. But then, what does he say? What does he say about a case of Lehana Aso? Right? What if someone puts a gun to your head and says, Dugili Arayos, you know, Achashverosh puts a gun to a married woman's head and says, sleep with me because, right, because, not because I'm anti-Judaism, just because I want the Hana. What does the Rambam say? Dvorah?
Mutter.
No? I don't...
He said that you can.
The Hana also?
Yeah, didn't he have, like, if you wanted to... Right, B'med Vrim Amurim? Oh, are we disagreeing about how to read B'med Vrim Amurim?
Okay, this may get more complicated.
Atar and I thought that when he says B'medvim Amorim B'zmancha Obikochav Miskaben La'as Atmo, both this B'medvim Amorim and the previous B'medvim Amorim were going back to Halacha Aleph of where you don't have to die. And so the Rambam is saying whether the two cases of Halacha Aleph, any mitzvah except for Yerayos and Shvichot, you know, the big three, and... it's when it's and you don't have to die if it's just for his own hana.
Mm-hmm. I think the question is like the two b'medvar amurim at the beginning of Halacha Beis, are they one building on the next or are they sort of parallel, right? I think my understanding is the standard way of reading it is that the Rambam here says that b'medvar amurim is much we call him mischaim l'anas atzmo. That's only within the non big three.
Okay, so we thought that at first, but then the Rambam says, "Oh, anas isha libo Allah, the kiyotzi bazeh."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which sounds like it's also including the big three.
Interesting. Okay, I don't know if we're going to be able to prove this one way or the other right now, but let's work. Yeah, if we can, we'll keep Devorah's objection in tow, but work with the assumption that the Rambam seems to think that the Ha'aviro, Lahana Aso does not help for the big three. If so, that would indicate that it's really about Chomer. That's really about Chomer Ha'avera, as we saw in the Ramban, right? And then. The other thing that seems a bit funny is that in Halacha Dalid, if you do the Avera, and you know it's a case of your Harval Yavor, and you do the Avera anyways, and you don't give up your life, the Rambam there says Ein Malkin, where he says Av Bichaim Ifnei Sha'aver Ba'onis Ein Malkin Oso VeEin Tzarich Lomar She'Ein Mamisin Oso. If you Harg Ba'onis She'Ein Malkin Mamisin Ela Leover Birtzon. He says there's no punishment, which we said seems to fit better with the Chil Hashem, but wouldn't fit as well with the understanding that it's based on Chomer Havera, which arguably is how to read it earlier. So I guess we have to look more closely at the reading to sort that out. Alternatively, how might we reconcile the Rambam? Assuming he doesn't have a heter for Hana Aso, he thinks it's Chomer Havera there, it sounds like, whereas at the end, or throughout the Halacha, he talks about Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem, and he also doesn't have an Onesh, which implies that it's primarily about Kiddush and Chil Hashem. How might we reconcile the Rambam? Right, so I think this goes back to what we said at the beginning of Shir, or I think maybe Nettie throughout the beginning of Shir, that it's sort of building on the one is building on the other. Meaning, why is it that there's a Chil Hashem for doing Gilir Atzav Rezar and Shvichus Damim? Maybe because these happen to be very severe averos. Meaning, the Chomer Avera is what leads directly to the Chil Hashem. Since these are such severe averos, it then becomes a Chil Hashem to do them. So Rav Asher Weiss suggested that as a way of grouping. I think it makes a lot of sense to group these things together. I had another source that may be a bridge of sorts between the two Tzadim of the Hakira. So source number six, which I don't know if people got to, and it's like really out of left field, but it is Yom Kippur related, so we get Yoma bonus points for it. It's talking about doing the kapara of bringing karbanos in the going all the like lefnai v'lefnim, the kapara inside the kodesh on Yom Kippur, and the pasuk says, "V'chiper al kodesh mitumos b'nei Yisrael mipishayim l'chol chatosam." right? He's mechaper by putting blood on the Kodesh from all the tumos, all the impurities, all the pshayim, rebellions, all the chataim of the Jewish people. And so the Medrash says, the Sifra, the Medrash Halacha says, Yesh li b'inyan hazeh lahavi shlosha tumos. What are the tumos? What are the big tumos that Yom Kippur actually is mechaper for? What are the three? Tumas avodah zarah, kimosha ne'emar, l'man tameis mikdashu l'chal Hashem kachi. Avodah zarah is mitame the mikdash. It defiles the temple and is mechalel Shem Hashem. Tumas gili arayos, sh'nemar levilti asu mechukos atoev asher nasu l'fneichem lo sitamu bahem. Gili arayos leads to impurity of the Jewish people by doing arayos like the nations before them. And tumas shvichus damim, sh'nemar velo sitame ha'aretz asher atem yoshim ba asher nishochim esocha. And it's also mitame the land. Murder is mitame the land. Right? This is a theme throughout the Torah of blood being mitame the land. So this, I think, is the first source, earliest source, that connects, explicitly connects, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichus Damim, but along different lines than we usually think. It's the three tumos. The tuma of the Kodesh, the tuma of the Mikdash, rather, the tuma of Bnei Yisrael, and the tuma of Eretz Yisrael. That stem from Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichus Damim. And then the Gemara darshans it that no, it's really more tumos, more averos, it applies to everything, fine. But it's pretty clear that these are in some way different, they're more severe, and they're more severe because they create a tuma. Now, the question is, what do you do with this? Is this Chomer Avera or is this Chilul Hashem? How would you think about that conceptually? Now, there's indications in both directions. On the one hand, it says explicitly by Avodah Zarah, L'man Tameis Mikdashi Ulechalel as Shem Kadshi. But it sounds very explicitly that it's about Chil. On the other hand, these three averos are singled out among the others, maybe because they're so chamur. And the impact of tuma, what does it mean to have tuma from an avera? Presumably it means this avera is so bad that it like actually defiles the mikdash, like, you know, or defiles Bnei Yisrael or Eretz Yisrael. A nation that has these things happening is somehow ruined, is defiled, is becomes tameh through the averos. Right, so that seems like there's some aspect of Chomer Avera there. It's so Chomer that it leads to these Tumos. I think there's really both, right? There's really the Tuma, which is based on Chomer Avera, and at the same time, Ulechalel Hashem Kachi, there's a Chil Hashem, which presumably is why these you know, the two go together. These Averos are so severe that they cause a Tuma because they're defiling Hashem's name. They're creating a Chil Hashem by having this in society. So I think maybe this Sifra is I don't know, fits with the Rambam, to be a little anachronistic, but it fits with this idea that there's an integration between the factors. On the one hand, the Chil Hashem aspect. On the other hand, the Chomer Avera aspect. They go together, but precisely because these are such severe Averos, they create that Chil Hashem, they create that Tuma, and maybe that's the Rambam Shita to sort of join between the two Tzadim, the two sides of this Chakira that we saw throughout the Rishonim.